You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, May 24th. Joining me in studio this morning, the Reverend Dr. Joel Leyenbauer, Executive Director of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Dr. Leyenbauer, welcome back to His Time.
It's great to be with you, Andy.
It's been a little bit since we chatted, about a month or two, I think, since we've chatted about Commission on Theology and Church Relations. And with a convention right around the corner, lots of preparations for that. I know it's about to be a real busy time for many people here at the International Center and, right, and across Synod who are involved in preparations for convention with chairs and floor committees, getting ready for all their work in preparation for the convention. But one particular part of our organization as Synod is the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. And some of our listeners may know what that is or might not, or may not know all the details. So I thought we'd set aside about 3 or 4 hours today to to work through all the details of what is the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Okay, so maybe just a few minutes. But tell us a little bit about the history. How did do you know how the commission
sure.
came about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could tell you, if you want to take those 3 or 4 hours, we could do a full historical review. I've been on staff here for over 25 years with the Commission on Theology. So
you don't look old enough to have been
thank
on
you,
staff.
Andy.
You started when you were about 12.
Thank you, Andy. That's a great compliment. But so in all those years, I've become pretty familiar with the commission's work and the history of it. Back in 1962, the Synod Convention in Cleveland, Ohio, the CTCR was created. It was kind of the before the storm days, if you know a little bit about the history of the Synod, the turbulent days and the walkout in the early 70s and so on, tensions kind of between the seminaries. That was kind of brewing already back in the 1960s, and so the Synod decided in its wisdom to create a group that would have representatives from both seminaries, that would have some parish pastors, some lay people, some Synod officials on it, to come together and wrestle with theological issues that hopefully would help to bring people together on some of the divisive issues of that time, things like authority of Scripture and questions about church fellowship, and the ecumenical movement was really kind of brewing. So they created this group called the Commission on Theology, number one, and Church Relations. So kind of a dual responsibility, working closely with the president of the Synod, but these 20 members. So it's a large commission, but it's very diverse, and it was created so that if I can be crass, it couldn't be stacked, you know, politically, that you don't have the president, let's say, appointing all the members, or you don't have the council president appointing all the members. There are 5 different ways that people get on the commission. Some are elected by the convention, some are appointed by the president, some are appointed by the council of presidents, some are appointed by both seminaries. And so we have a real mix of people. And I think it's worked well, kind of a microcosm of the Synod. And they get together 4 times a year, typically, for 2 or 3 days. There are 2 of us at this point in its history that are full-time staff, so we kind of just help them know what they're supposed to be doing. And our work kind of runs in the 3-year cycle of the triennium. It's usually a Synod convention that puts assignments on our agenda, says, we'd like you to study this, and give us a document. And then now, as you said, we're heading into a convention, so we've just finished the task of putting together a report to the Synod telling them, here's what we accomplished in the last 3 years. Here's the things we got done. And I was kind of surprised this time around. We got a lot done, frankly, in the last 3 years. And then here's some things that we're still working on. And hopefully we'll get some new work from the convention this summer that'll fill up our docket again and give us a good load of exciting stuff to look at.
So in your position in Reverend Larry Vogel, you're kind of like the perpetual student.
Right.
With new assignments every 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, generally when someone studies theology on this level, this would be graduate school level studying theology that you would be studying in specifically in an area that you really just wanted to continue studying. You get your assignments every 3 years, then you get to study topics. What have there been topics in theology or church relations that have been something you really enjoyed and you're ready to jump in and dig deep in and learn about?
Yeah, all kinds of things I could mention, you do have to, as staff in this area, become a little bit more of a generalist because there are so many different issues. I'm not an expert in all of them. Larry's not an expert in all of them. We hopefully know something about each of them, but we don't typically, as staff, draft these reports either. We recruit drafters who do have expertise in these areas. We have three subcommittees on the CTCR. A kind of social ethical issues subcommittee. So we've had documents issued on life issues, you know, end of life, beginning of life, cloning, procreative kind of issues, and science and theology. This last trinium was a major report. I'm not a science guy, you know, I don't really know a lot about that stuff. So we recruited a drafter who did have background and experience, but we're the ones who have to go through the report and approve it. We drafted a brief document about a year ago on gender dysphoria, kind of almost in some ways anticipating some of the controversy, you know, that is going on now around the transgender issue and so on, trying to give some clarity to how Christians can think through this issue. Then we have another subcommittee that deals more with church fellowship, church relations kinds of issues. And there are things, as I think your readers probably know, exploding around the world in Lutheranism, you know, a lot going on in Africa and Asia. And so that's part of my job, too. I've made, I think, 6 or 7 trips to Ethiopia in the last couple of years as we're having fellowship discussions with the largest Lutheran church there, the Mekane Yesus Lutheran Church. And those reports come back to the commission, and we try to identify issues that we need to be discussing with them. And that could, I could mention any number of other church bodies. At this convention, we're going to be recognizing church fellowship with, I think, 7 new church bodies. That all has to come through the CTCR. The Synod and Convention cannot even consider those requests until they're approved by the CTCR. So that's part of our job, too, to bring those to the commission. And then there are some just pure kind of theological issues that we take up. And one of the most exciting to me that we've been working on and are getting near completion, I think, is we were asked by the last convention to do a revision of Luther's Small Catechism with explanation. Not the catechism itself, not the thing that Luther wrote, but all the questions and answers that try to apply it to today's issues. And the last convention recognized, you know, even though the last revision wasn't that long ago, 1991, culturally, that was a long time ago. And you have issues going on now that they never dreamed that they'd be facing today. And so we're going to hopefully be sending out soon a field testing edition of this explanation for people to get their hands on and look at with a new format, new template. It's kind of going to be, I think, interesting to people to see what we've done with it, to try to make it a little, to keep all the good stuff, but make it a little more user-friendly and a little more flexible for use in a number of different formats and with different age groups and so on. So that's kind of a thumbnail of some of what's been going on in our lives the last year, few years.
Well, it sounds like a very complex process of things to maintain, both the study of theology and a lot of issues in theology that come up, as you mentioned, gender dysphoria, gender issues that you anticipated coming up, being kind of the hot issues, but that we would need to be prepared to address. And so having the foresight to start studying that and prepare documents on that. Now, you mentioned cloning. Did you have to practice cloning any, like cloning some staff? So you have more staff here?
We always like to try it first. I mean, you can't really analyze it in a balance, no. We didn't. But it is interesting how that happens, you know, and who knows, let's say we mentioned these gender issues are very prominent in the news these days. Well, years ago, cloning was, I mean, you could hardly get up in the morning and read an article and something about cloning. And so we felt, you know, it was important to try to address that issue. And it's been kind of interesting to me that that issue, you don't really hear as much about it. I don't know if it's just because it's sort of, you know, in some way becoming an accepted scientific practice without maybe crossing some of the moral lines that people at the time were afraid might be crossed, you know, like cloning human beings, you know, you just don't really hear much about that. Maybe a movie or science fiction or something on some website that says somebody's trying it, but it isn't. I think people have calmed down a little bit about it because in many ways I think cloning is being used for, you know, some practical purposes, and not that there aren't still some moral issues around it, stem cell research, you know, and the use of fetal tissue. That gets to be obviously a difficult issue for us related to our beginning of life issues. So there are some challenging points there. But time does move on and the issues change, and sometimes they circle back around. You know, some documents that we put out 25, 30, 40 years ago, let's say, like in 1968, the CTCR did a document, even before my time, Andy, called Civil Obedience and Disobedience. Back in the 60s, you know, around the Vietnam War and different kinds of issues that got to be a hot issue. Well, you know, that document got quite a bit of attention then. It didn't get a lot of attention in intervening years, but I've been getting it out again because, I mean, who knows? But we may be heading into a time when people will have to wrestle a little bit with some of those issues. When might we have to say to the government, who might be trying to force us to do something that's against our conscience, we just can't do it? You know?
How does the work of the CTCR benefit the parish pastor, the congregation, the, you know, the person sitting in the pew in the congregation? Obviously, there's a lot of academic work, a lot of study that goes into this, and as you said, experts in these areas or in these topics. That's a lot of research and that goes into this document. What does that mean for? How is it useful to the person in the pew, to the parish pastor?
We try to write every single one of our documents not for an arcane academic audience, not even just for pastors, but for lay people too. Now, different people are going to have different interests in different issues, but we have over 100 reports online. You can go to our website. There they are. And so if you want to kind of read up on what is the Lutheran view of the relationship between church and state, well, we have a great document called Render Unto Caesar, and you can read it. Many of our documents these days also have Bible studies that are specifically designed to be used to accompany the document. The Science and Theology Report that I mentioned, that is kind of a deep document. It's probably not for the average reader. So we just finished a study discussion guide for that, where you don't have to necessarily slog through the whole document. This study guide brings it kind of down to earth and allows you to kind of see its practical value. We have a document on prayer that is really could be used very well as a devotional kind of study on prayer with a Bible study built into it. I have a recent Bible study on hostility against Christians in today's world, and how do I deal with that when people seem to not like me because I'm a Christian, or even seem to be threatening, you know, our values and our right to believe what we believe. So we do always keep that in mind. I think the main thing is getting as much exposure to our work, letting people know it's out there. Pastors, I think, tend to get our documents. We almost always mail them out to everybody, and they're online, and they kind of flip through them. I did this when I was a parish pastor. And then they put them on a shelf somewhere and maybe don't think about them again until some problem comes up or some question comes up in the congregation in some area, and then say, oh, yeah, I think there was a CTCR document on Christian discipline or something, and I, you know, dig that out.
And not just pastors, other church workers receive those as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
I know as a DCE, I receive it, and my wife as well is a DCE.
Right, exactly. So try to get them into people's hands, and, you know, I mean, depending on what you're doing when you get it or whether the topic seems to be, we're not naive about the fact that people probably aren't going to drop everything and just say, I got to read this latest CTCR document, although some we find do that. But they're there for people's use. And I think if the topic becomes of interest and concern to someone, typically they'll find it pretty helpful as a way of working through it.
And that's just it. You know, with this recent one on gender issues, that I think is very timely and certainly helpful to someone in the parish, like a pastor, a DCE, or a deaconess, mm-hmm. or a teacher, would certainly find that very helpful with the issues mm-hmm. that we're, you know, hearing about in the news, or maybe in our very own communities, mm-hmm. How do we address those lovingly as Christians with those who are affected by these issues, and how do we respond faithfully as well when we need to speak up?
Right. Another thing I'll mention, just for lay people out there listening who might not be aware of it, 20 years or so ago, the CTCR was given the responsibilities of another commission that no longer exists, called the Commission on Organizations. They were in charge with evaluating religious organizations and movements, cults, the occult, you know, world religions and so on. We have not been able to, you know, because we're doing other stuff. This is an add-on to our work, as much as they were doing. But we have on our website evaluations, brief 4 to 6 page evaluations of about 40 different organizations like this. And if someone, you know, what are the Jehovah Witnesses? You know, what are the Mormons? What is Reiki? You know, what does Islam believe? Those brief evaluations are available for anybody to download and look at. And they're nice little handy resources from a Lutheran perspective mm-hmm. of these various organizations. So that's, you don't have to plow through 200 pages. You know, you can get it a pretty good, and those are things you can hand to somebody. Say, well, mm-hmm. here's kind of our take on this.
A quick overview mm-hmm. of religious organizations. And that's available on the website as well.
Right.
lcms.org/CTCR. That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
CTCR.
Yeah.
That's easy, and a ton of resources there.
They are.
All the CTCR reports, you said over 100?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And these resources on religious organizations that certainly would be helpful as well. With just under a minute left, your preparations for convention, what do you have left to do before convention, or do we need 2 hours for that?
No, what we're basically doing now, some who have been involved may know that this weekend, there's a tradition, Memorial Day weekend before a convention, all these certain appointed delegates or certain number of them flood this building and get together and prepare resolutions for the convention, and staff is very involved in that, and mm-hmm. so that's what we'll be doing this weekend, is trying to help those folks write resolutions that will be proposed to the Synod Convention to take action, to take positions, to ask the CTCR to do something, perhaps, on an issue that is of importance to the Church. So that's how I'm going to be spending my Memorial Day weekend, Andy, with joy and a sense of great, loyalty to my Church. So
well, that's right. The weather doesn't look that great. The forecast doesn't look that great anyway. The Reverend Dr. Joel Leyenbauer, Executive Director of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thanks for being our guest today. Yeah. I learned a lot.
Good.
I hope our listeners did as well. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the Daily New Testament, reading the Daily Lectionary. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.